This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. Rosie and Chad Lowen are barely making ends meet in New York City when they receive life-changing news. Chad's late uncle has left them his luxury apartment at the historic Windermere in glamorous Murray Hill. With its pre-war elegance and impeccably uniformed doorman, the building is the epitome of old New York charm. One would almost never suspect the dark history lurking behind its perfectly maintained facade. The book is The New Couple in 5B, the author Lisa Unger. Lisa is a New York Times and internationally best-selling author of 20 novels, including Confessions on the 745 and Secluded Cabin, Sleep 6. An award-winning and acclaimed writer with millions of readers worldwide, Lisa is widely regarded as a master of suspense. Her books are published in 33 languages and have been voted Best of the Year or Top Picks by the Today Show, Good Morning America, Entertainment Weekly, Amazon, IndieBound, and many others. In 2019, her novel Under My Skin and her short story The Sleep Tight Motel were both nominated for the prestigious Edgar Award. Her nonfiction work has appeared in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, NPR, and Travel and Leisure. Lisa makes her home, beautiful west coast of Florida, with her family, and happy to have back on this program, Lisa Unger. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me back again.
So what inspired you to write The New Couple in 5B?
Yeah, you know, usually there's like one, you know, like how it usually works for me is there's like one seed, and that like could really come from anywhere. It might come from like a line of poetry or a news story, or in one case, it was even a piece of junk mail. And it generally leads me to like a lot of research. And then if that research connects to something else that I kind of want to explore, I start to hear a voice or voices. But in the case of The New Couple and 5B, it was a little bit more like a collision of a couple of things. So when I was a young girl, my aunt lived in New York City, and she inhabited a building and an apartment that is very much like the place in The New Couple and 5B. It was a gorgeous pre-war building, like an awning on Park Avenue, and uniformed doorman with a hand-operated elevator. And for me as a kid, it was like kind of this iconic New York apartment, like the dream apartment that you know, the place that you would inhabit if you were living like the most glamorous possible life in New York City. And to my mind, she was, you know, she worked in fashion. She was incredibly beautiful. But, you know, my aunt was like this really complicated woman. And so visits with her were always very layered and difficult. And so it kind of took this piece away from me from that part of my life of like this beautiful place that like looked like a dream, but that was sort of underpinned with something really dark and unpredictable. And so I had kind of had that piece, and, you know, places have always been very important to me in my work. You know, not just houses or buildings, but also land. They always, you know, like places that hold energy. So that kind of idea had been kicking around for a while. And then I had occasion to reread a few years ago, Ira Levin's Rosemary's Baby. And I was just so, I mean, I'd read it, of course, before, probably more than once, like as a younger person. And then, you know, of course, the movie is iconic as well. But when I read it again as, you know, an older person, you know, a 54-year-old person with, you know, 20 novels under my belt, there are things about Rosemary's Baby that really just kind of struck a chord with me, and this memory that I had of the apartment, and also like this idea of Rosemary in the book as being like very without agency, which of course in 1967, when it was written, she would have been. And I kind of had this like, there was kind of like this collision of those two things that led me to start thinking about a place like you found in Rosemary's Baby, but, you know, my own sort of twist on it. So that was like sort of the collision that led to the book.
Did that also lead to the name of the character, Rosie, inspiration it for
did,
it?
You know what? It didn't. Of course, this has come up 100 times during my book tour, but like, no, it was completely unconscious. But of course, you know, it must have been inspired by that. I mean, obviously, but like at the time of the writing, I didn't really have access to that, which is like pretty true to form for me. There's a lot of times when after I finish writing a book, my character has a name and I'm like, uh-oh. But then I can't change it because I'm so I'm so invested in the name and that character that to have to change a name like after the book is already written is like pretty painful.
So, what are Rosie and Chad Lowen like?
Yeah, they're an interesting couple. So, Chad is an actor and he's very beautiful and charming, and he is struggling, and he's struggling to kind of find the type of role that he wants. He comes from, sort of a difficult past. He's lost his parents. His uncle Ivan was really his only like sort of close family member who he was connected to. And he's really in love with Rosie, and he's really invested with her in trying to start a family. Rosie is also estranged from her family of origin, and they're really, really, both motivated to create a family of their own, feeling this disconnection from their original families. And then Ivan is his uncle, who has passed. And Rosie and Chad, in the last months of Ivan's life, spent a lot of time with him, taking care of him and helping him to, and helping him during, the difficult final days of his life. And so, they're a very like exciting young couple. They have, Rosie's a true crime writer. She has her second, she's working on her second book, which is actually about the Windermere and its dark history. And so, their luck has, even though their luck has been all bad, this kind of windfall, this kind of inheritance seems like it's going to be like the point on which their life pivots and everything starts to go their way. But of course, that's not the way it's going to go. Yeah.
You mentioned that you've written, what, over 20 novels now,
Yes.
writing for years. How has your writing changed, Lisa? And do you find yourself trying any new techniques?
That's a great question. So I have been my I started my first novel when I was 19 years old. Before then it had been like poetry, like terrible poetry and short stories, and I had also taken some journalism classes and playwriting classes. And when I started my first novel at the age of 19, I knew that that's what kind of I knew that's what I was. I always knew I was a writer, even from the time I was a kid. And then I just, it took me a long time to finish my first book and get it published. It took me almost 10 years. So I was 30 when my first book published. And I over the years have, perpetually been motivated by the idea that I can be a better writer today than I was yesterday. I'm still motivated by that. I think every time you sit down to write, you can be better. So I hope that, the book that I wrote when I was 19, compared to the book that I just finished, which, will be the next book, I hope that they're unrecognizable from each other in terms of, the quality of my writing. And yet that there is a thread of commonality that runs through them all, themes that are recognizable, and that, that my essence, my heart is in every single book. Every single book is the absolute pinnacle of my ability at the time of its writing. And hopefully not as good as I will be when I'm writing the next one. So that's kind of that's always my goal. That's always been my goal. But things of, of course your writing changes, and of course, I mean, and when you say, have you tried any new techniques or anything like that, I think I'm always digging deeper for, character and how, and of course our culture is always changing. Technology is a big piece now in our culture. It's a big part of how we relate to each other and how we communicate with each other. So I'm always excited to experiment about, with things like that, like texting and like comments on a website or whatever, like how all these new ways that we talk to each other and all these new words that we use now to talk to each other. I mean, language is like such an alive thing that, is always emerging and changing and becoming something different. So I'm always excited to, be current in our language and how we communicate with each other and in technology. So I'm always looking for to find new ways of how to like convey information with technology.
Yeah, you didn't have texting and social media in those early books you wrote.
That's so true. That's exactly right. I mean, it really has become like a huge feature of every book. And I think that, You have to kind of stay current with it. My friend her name is Kate White. She's a best-selling author and also the former editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan magazine. And she always says you need a reverse mentor, meaning you need like somebody younger than you to keep you current on everything that's going on in the world so that your books can always be current. And I definitely have that, in my 18-year-old daughter. She's definitely my reverse mentor. And some other younger friends I have, like sort of when I was writing Last Girl Ghosted, and it was like all about the world of online dating. I was like, when I met and married my husband in like 1999, like it was like maybe just the very beginning of online dating. And there certainly were no apps. Of course, there were not even any smartphones or any tablets or anything like that at that time. So, like, keeping current on the technology of things like that is definitely part of my ongoing research for work, for writing.
Lisa, what's the best thing about being an author?
I mean, that's such a great question. I have always been a writer, right? I have always dwelled most comfortably in the place of my imagination than in the real world. And the idea that I get to, sort of dive into these worlds that I create and explore, sort of the inner workings of my characters' minds, and I've been blessed enough that I can write these books and then they go out into the world and then readers accept them into their hearts and their minds. And then I can talk to my readers about what they read, and those people are as real to them as they are to me. I think that, that journey, from the page and from the writing of a book into like the hands of my reader is like probably, one of the greatest gifts of my life. I mean, I never wanted to do anything else.
And you're pretty active on social media, and and for a while now, you get instant feedback from your readers.
I do. We all do. We get instant feedback from our readers. So, and of course it's like, God help you if you make a mistake, right? Like any kind of mistake. And of course you do. In every book, there's something, right? Like, because no matter how many times you've read it or how many proofreading drafts, and then like, there's always like something gets through. And it's literally like never like more than a week before you get a note about it. Like on page 37, you there's this like whatever it is, and you're like, wow, okay, great, thanks. But it is helpful, especially now where the ebook is such a big, the ebook is such a big part of the publishing of a book, that like with the ebook you can like push changes through immediately. Like you can write to your editor and say there's a typo on page 37, and it can be done and it can be fixed in every ebook, like it with the press of a button, which was never the case. And then sometimes you'll get like, I'll get mail from somebody like from, like obviously they've like picked up my book from like a garage sale for like 25 cents, like some really old book, like a first edition hardcover that still has a change in like a mistake in it. And they'll be like, on page 37, like, okay, that was 2002. Okay. That's not even fair. There's nothing I can do about
Speaking of old books, do you ever find yourself going back and do you read some of your early novels?
Yeah, that's so interesting, because if you had asked me this question like a year ago, I would have been like, no way. I don't go back. I never read anything I've already written, because, anything I get my hands on, I would rewrite. I would get in there and just start to try to fix it. And I'm only ever going to see the flaws. Like, that's just the truth of it, right? And so, but this year there was a reissue of Crazy Love You, which was published originally in 2015. And I got another pass on it. They said, oh, do you want another pass on the manuscript? And I was like, no, I don't, but yeah, I guess I do. And so I took another pass on it, and it was such an interesting experience that I felt like I was reading it as if I hadn't written it. And it was such an it was and it was so like fun to reconnect to those characters as a reader. And I really enjoyed it, and I did make some adjustments. I did make some I did make some changes. I did fix that typo on page 37. And I got, I got an opportunity to kind of dive into that universe again. And that particular book is pretty wild, about this graphic novelist, Ian Payne, and his relationship with a woman who is very, very dangerous for him, and his history of trauma, and has like kind of a meta feature of the graphic novel that he's working on. So there's basically like there's almost like three timelines in that story, and it was just really interesting to kind of lose myself in it again as a reader. And
Yeah, and
it was okay. Yeah.
you've been away from it for so long, too.
Yeah, like 10 years
Yeah.
almost. Yeah.
Are you, I'm sure you're hard at work on another novel at this point, and can you give us a sneak peek into what it's about?
Well, I hardly ever talk about it. So the one that is going to publish in 2025 is done, well, done as in, I'm doing copy edits right now. And I never really talk about it, but I will talk a little bit about this one. Well, first of all, it's a psychological thriller, right? Of course. And bad things will happen naturally. And this particular book was inspired by something that happened to me while I was traveling. And so that is what I'm
Good,
going to say about the
good
new book.
tease. Good tease
Yeah.
for the new one coming out in 2025.
2025, that's right.
And finally, Lisa, what would you like readers to take away from the new couple in 5B?
I hope that it keeps you up past your bedtime. I hope that, it's a like a sort of a breathless thriller that keeps you turning the pages. But I hope you really get to know Rosie and Chad and the building, the Windermere, because they all have tremendous like layers, and they all, need something from each other. And so I hope that, it's a book that you really enjoy and, feel very like compelled to keep reading and turning the pages, but that it stays with you after you've closed it.
Lisa Unger, the book is The New Couple in 5B. It is out now. Connect with Lisa Unger online, too. She's on social a lot. Thank you for
You
joining
can't
me.
not find me,
You
that's true.
can't. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Steve.
And this is Speaking of Writers.